Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today we will hear about Krishna's most precious gift, the gift of bhakti, and how it is given. There's a verse in the fifth canto where Shukadev Goswami feels it is important to encourage Parikshit, his listener. Krishna had appeared in the family of the Yadus, Parikshit in the family of the Kurus, or he was an heir to the Pandavas. So he wants to say that the Lord was more affectionate to the Pandavas and is therefore more affectionate also to their heirs. My dear king, Mukunda is the maintainer, the spiritual master, the worshipable deity, the friend, and the director of both the Yadus and the Pandavas. But he was sometimes your servant. And then the important part for this episode: to those who worship the Lord, he gives liberation very easily, but not direct service to him. So yes, Krishna easily bestows liberation from this samsara or cycle of birth and death to anyone who worships him, but he rarely bestows bhakti. That is the greatest treasure in his treasury, and he chooses who is capable to receive it. In the past, there are certainly many devotees who have obtained the gift of bhakti. There's Ambarish, there's Dhruva Maharaj, there is Prahlad, but all these individuals were highly qualified. They had so much spiritual strength. They were capable to do bhajan for a long, long time. They were absorbed like it is not possible for an ordinary man. So therefore, in their case, it is not so special that they have gotten bhakti because of their qualities. Only in Vrindavan, Krishna breaks his rule and makes bhakti available to everyone. Even those creepers who come up the trees. Rupa Goswami quotes a very nice verse which describes Krishna's mercy in Vrindavan, not outside. Here Bilva Mangala speaks about this. Certainly, he says, the lotus-naveled personality of Godhead has many all auspicious incarnations, but among them, who other than Krishna gives love of God even to the creepers? There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes how Krishna gave his gift to everyone in his home place, Vrindavan. Every single day, these personalities, we can say, got this incredible mercy which gave them symptoms of ecstasy. The verse says, O Krishna, your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, the birds, the trees, and the deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. So Krishna was very merciful in Vrindavan. He gave them love of Godhead. We can ask the question, what type of love is what these individuals felt? And the answer is, well, they felt the same love which one feels to a lifelong dear friend who is very close. The Sanskrit is Lokika Prana Surit, like an ordinary dear bosom friend. Let's study a little bit about this love before we put a question, that is, how can we get it? There's a beautiful pastime which is described by Raghunath Das Goswami, and also it is there in the Bhakti Ratnaka. It is how Radha and Krishna perform their pastimes in Vrindavan. Just for fun, Srimati Radharani once asked Krishna, what kind of games do you play here in this forest with your friends? And Krishna replied, oh Priya, here I play wonderful wrestling matches with my friends. See, no one in the world can wrestle as good as I can. I can easily defeat everyone else in wrestling. Now when Lalita heard these strong words of Krishna, she said, today we want to see you dress like a wrestler and play a wrestling match. So Krishna informed Lalita. Lalita, one does not wrestle alone. One needs an opponent who's also dressed as a wrestler. When Radharani heard this conversation, she interjected and says, okay, today we will be your opponents in wrestling. And she proudly dressed herself and her girlfriends in wonderful wrestling outfits. After Krishna had dressed himself up as a wrestler, he came out of the dressing place and saw the beauty of Radha in her wrestling outfit and became so completely enchanted by the amazing sweetness that came from every single limb of her transcendental body that ecstatic symptoms of love appeared, like shiverings and goosebumps. All this manifested on his body. So when the other Sakis saw this, they jokingly said, Shyama, everyone in the world is defeated by you in wrestling, but now you are trembling. You are already defeated. Even by just seeing your opponent, Radha, how will you fight now? Then the totally embarrassed Krishna regained his patience, and the two opponents, Radha and Krishna, they stood against each other, slightly smiling. But as they smiled, they could not continue and even start their wrestling match because they were overcome by ecstasy. See, these pastimes go on in Vrindavan. They are totally like the best of lifelong friends who are jogging and for fun enter different things. But the Lord felt, I keep this nectar in close quarters. When a king bestows charity upon others within the closed quarters of his palace, that does not prove his magnanimity. The word is magnanimity. Even though such a king may give away everything just like a desire tree, the king's true magnanimity is proven only when he bestows charity upon the fallen, the downtrodden people outside his palace. Radha says this in the 10th canto, 47th chapter. She says, Apicha kripana pakshe yuttama shloka shapta. The epithet uttama shloka, that means the most worthy of glorification, is suitable only for a person who takes sides with the miserly, or those who have a lot of misery, and the fallen. For this unconditioned distribution of mercy, Krishna left Vrindavan. He left his inner circle in Goloka Vrindavan, and he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. He took with him his associates. He said, I take all these pure devotees with me, and I shall descend and perform pastimes in various wonderful ways in the world, pastimes which are unknown even in Vaikuntha. What are these pastimes? These pastimes are pastimes where the Lord breaks open the treasure house of bhakti and distributes it, like a king who comes home from conquering the world and who has his associates distribute wealth to all those people who line the street on both sides. Now, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You may ask, in which way does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distribute bhakti, which is so rare to get, which is so very rare that it is the supreme treasure? Rupa Goswami describes this. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mukot Girna, all glories to the syllables Hare Krishna emanating from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These syllables, forming his own names, are drowning the whole world in love of God. Where else is this bhakti hidden? Are there currently existing treasure houses that contain the jewels of prema bhakti? Yes, there are the 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by listening to them, one develops prema. This is said, Yasyam vai shruyamana yam Krishna parama purushe. Verily, by listening to this literature, pure devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead develops. You only have to become real. And Jiva Goswami describes there are three people who are not real. These are the people who have wealth but who do not distribute it to others. These are the people who or do not use the wealth in Krishna service. It's the people who have strength but who do not use their bodies in the service of Krishna. When there's kirtan, they don't dance. And finally, it is those who pretend to have prema, but they are without prema or love. Everyone will get love of Krishna or bhakti as distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, provided he stops being a kapati, a cheetah, and becomes real. So as the week is starting, I request both all of you to make this a practice. Please, in a humble form, in a real form, in a real way, approach the holy name and chant it, and approach the Bhagavatam, and you will see how bhakti rises in your heart. Thank you very much. I wish you all the best, and see you soon for the next Above the